You're on the record on RTRFM 92.1. I'm Danae Gibson with you this morning until 11am, and it's time for the first of our regular Thursday chats. It's time for the Language Lab. This week we're talking to Amanda Hamilton Holloway, a lecturer in linguistics at the University of Western Australia, a member of UWA's Language Lab, and a researcher at the University of Queensland. Amanda's work has mostly focused on languages of Australia, first on the languages of the Pilbara region of WA, and more recently on one particular language spoken in the central Northern Territory. Today we're going to be talking about how many Australian Indigenous languages there are. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
How many languages, Indigenous languages, are there in Australia?
So the most recent research on this topic suggests that there were probably between about 440 and 490 unique Indigenous languages spoken in Australia at the time of European arrival. And note that those are separate languages I'm talking about, so not dialects of the same language. This is pretty... Yeah.
I was going to say, did you expect that number? I mean, you're a specialist in this field, so I'm expecting you know more than most of us, but I think people would be surprised it was nearly 500 distinct languages.
Yeah, that's right. So this number has very recently been revised upward. This 440 to 490 figure comes from a paper published by a researcher from Yale University just about a month ago. So this is very new. Before that, the estimate that I had heard from this same researcher before she revised her own number was about 370. Mm. And before that, people were saying somewhere in the neighborhood of 250. So the number keeps growing as we learn more.
I think that's the first number I heard, Amanda, was about 250. So this is really recent information. That's great.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, that number 250 gets stated a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think for a while it was probably the best that people could do, but now it seems that there are actually quite a bit more than that.
So what were the relationships among the languages like?
Yeah, so these are 440 to 90-ish distinct languages. So I really want to make it clear that these are not dialects of the same language. That is quite often, it's one of the most common questions that I get asked. People say, oh, you mean dialects, right? No, I don't. So if you ever hear somebody say that, you know, the Aboriginal language or someone was speaking Aboriginal, that is completely nonsensical. That's not how it worked. And in terms of the relationships between the languages, it is quite possible that all Australian languages, barring maybe one language of the Torres Strait, are ultimately related to each other. So when linguists talk about language relationship, genetic language relationship, what we mean is descended from a common ancestor language, a real actual language called a proto-language that was spoken, you know, some X number of thousands of years ago.
Mm.
So in the case of Australian languages, this single hypothesized ancestor language for, you know, all but one of Australian languages gets called Proto-Australian.
Wow.
So if you just, yeah, that's right. So just try to understand that idea, to sort of put it in perspective of languages that maybe people are familiar with, you can think of, say, the relationship between English and Hindi. So believe it or not, English and Hindi are genetically related languages. They both are Indo-European languages. But of course, they diverged a very long time ago, many thousands of years ago. And as a result, they are quite different today. No one would ever say that English and Hindi are dialects of the same language, or even that they're particularly similar.
Mm.
So that's the same sort of relationship that we are talking about when we talk about Australian languages being related. Some of them are very, very distantly related in the same way that English is related to Hindi or, say, Russian, something like that.
Okay. Wow, there's big concepts to get my head around today, Amanda. Last time you were on the show, you talked about language endangerment and loss, that is, where a language has decreasing number of speakers or sometimes no living speakers at all. What are these 490 Australian languages like in terms of endangerment and loss?
So, unfortunately, Australia has suffered more language loss and endangerment than almost anywhere else in the world. So the 2020 National Indigenous Languages Report found that of these original, 400 some odd Australian languages, there are currently about 120 to 160 with any remaining speakers at all.
Mm.
And in fact, while that sounds dire enough, the situation is actually much more serious than that, because of those, say, 120 to 160 who have any speakers, only about 12 of those are currently being transmitted to children. So this intergenerational transmission, if anybody remembers that term from last month when I was on the show, is one of the key criteria by which we measure language endangerment, that is, whether the next generation is learning the language. And it seems that only about 12 Australian languages are being learned by the next generation, so probably about 2% of the original number of Australian languages are not critically endangered or dormant right now.
It's very sobering. Who's working to try and mitigate this loss?
Right, so any Indigenous person I have ever spoken to is at the very least really concerned about this issue and passionate about ideas of language and preserving, or in some cases relearning, what is possible. And in fact, a lot of linguists are very passionate about this topic as well. So anybody who follows the news will often see articles about new Indigenous language programs and projects. These do pop up quite frequently, and they really vary in their scope and in their goals. So some are quite small projects that focus on maybe just using one or two words from an Indigenous language. So you'll see, say, signage projects or place naming projects where people want to use a single word. And then these programs go all the way up at the other end to programs that at least aim to reinstate or maintain full conversational usage of a language. So there are certainly programs out there. It's really an uphill battle. It's very, very difficult to sort of turn the tide against language endangerment once it has already started, and there can be a lot of barriers, but at the very least we can say that there are a lot of people out there who care, and there are a lot of people out there who are trying to do something.
Amanda Hamilton-Holloway, your work has taken you to the Pilbara region and Northern Territory. What's that been like?
Well, it's been a real privilege. So I moved to Australia from the United States about 12 years ago in order to work in the Pilbara. So that was the first place I had ever been in Australia. And I think I got to experience it in a way a lot of people don't. I got to see a lot of really positive and affirming things about Pilbara Indigenous communities and places around there. I got to be taken to a lot of places that a lot of other people would just never get to see, and got to meet a lot of really passionate and well-connected people as well. So it was really an honor. It has been an honor. And the same in the Northern Territory. So I feel like I've been really welcomed by the community I work with there. I work with Mudbura speakers. That's the language that I work with there. And people have been unbelievably kind to me.
Well, it's been great to talk with you again on the record this morning. We'll talk to you around about this time next month.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
That's Amanda Hamilton-Holloway, a lecturer in linguistics at the University of Western Australia, a member of UWA's Language Lab, and the star of our Language Lab here on The Sound Alternative this morning.